Well, we're going to come before the Lord now and pray. And we do this specifically, and I encourage you to do the same every time you pick up the Bible. We ought to humble ourselves and ask for God through His Spirit that He might lead us into His truth. And Father, thank You for the gift of Your Spirit. Thank You that Jesus called Him the Spirit of Truth, and He came into this world and came into our lives. One of His main roles was to lead us into all truth. And boy, do we need that in the days we live, where there's so much confusion. And even amongst us, Lord, You know there are Christians who are pulled in different directions, the wrong directions. And we ask that we might be those who come under Your word, and that we would be faithful to Your truth. And I pray this for all of us, that we might be followers of the true Jesus through His true and eternal word. And so thank You for the things we'll look at today. We know that there is power in Your word, and may Your power be operating in our life to help us live lives glorious to You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I can imagine that this is true for all of us. Can't think of anyone where it wouldn't be true. We love getting gifts, don't we? Love getting gifts. And I love getting gifts, you know, like a little boy, even though I'm an adult, when it comes to getting gifts. And there probably are gifts that you have received that are really special. I've received many great gifts. But the one I'm going to mention to you, it was when I was a young lad growing up in the country in Corrigan, and it was around my birthday time. And I remember my mum and dad got me a most wonderful gift. What was it? It was a dragster bike. How about that? No second-hand bike, a brand new Melbourne Star dragster bike. The banana seat, the high handlebars, streamers coming out of the handlebars. It was fast. It was red. It was magnificent. What a gift. Rode that everywhere. Loved it. But you know what? No matter what gifts we might talk about today, we could share lots of stories about the gifts we have received. There can be nothing higher and greater than the gift, the gifts that God has given us. And when I think about the greatest gifts that God has given us, I'm not thinking about life, or good health, or so many other gifts that God gives us. There are two great gifts that are at the top. The gift of His Son and the gift of His Spirit. God's given two awesome gifts to us. And how lovely it is to embrace that this morning on this day called Pentecost Sunday. And I'd like us to consider the first great gift very briefly, the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Son. Isn't it interesting that that's how the Bible puts it? For example, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a prophecy about the Lord Jesus, it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." But all that great language is preceded by given. That's what God wants you to know. Jesus was a gift to you. And John 3:16 has that in it, doesn't it? "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God is that great gift giver. And He's given the most incredible gifts. And these gifts are awesome. Like, I think of the gift of the Son, and through the gift of the Son, we have been rescued from the consequences of our sins. We have been reconciled to the greatest, the Father. We have been regenerated to have spiritual and eternal life, all because of the gift of the Father to us, the gift of the Son. What a gift. And that's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Hope you're excited about that gift, the gift of Jesus. And you know what? There is another gift though, and I've got to say this to you, even in my own life, the second gift, so awesome, so amazing, is often not highlighted too much, not spoken about too much, even amongst Christians. And it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son coming into our lives. And this is a very special gift, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. I love how this gift was also prophesied about, just like the gift of the Son. If I turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, We read in verses 26 and 27. This is to do with the future, to do with Christ coming into our world. And after that time, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. See the promise. We know about the promises of the Son. There were also promises of the Spirit being given to us as well. And Jesus spoke about those things in Acts chapter 1. I love this section here, chapter 1, 4 and 5 of Acts chapter 1. It says there, gathering them together, he, that's the Lord Jesus, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Hear those words? What the Father had promised, which he said you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's speaking just before the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what a word, baptized. You're not going to just get a drop of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be immersed with the Holy Spirit. So great is the giver, God. He wants to immerse us in his Spirit, just like he gave Jesus to us so fully as well. I love God. Do you love his character? He is not like us. He is not stingy one little bit. He is so generous and so gracious. Yes, what wonderful truths they are. And there was this unique time. It's such a unique time. The Holy Spirit was involved in the world way before, all through the history of the world. But there was going to come a time when God the Father would really give the Spirit. Not just to some people, like just a few people, where the Spirit might come and go. He was going to come in full. Come into the lives of who? Everyone who opens their heart to Jesus, who trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And he would come and remain. What a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. This is when the church was born. And this continues today. People who open their heart to Jesus today receive this gift. You don't have to get better in your Christian life. You receive it immediately. You become a Christian. This is an amazing thing. The gift of the Spirit. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, I want us to look at the wonder of having the Holy Spirit in our life. I want us to look at three great C words. Three C words, right? So you can remember this. The Holy Spirit has been given to comfort us. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we might have courage. And the Holy Spirit has been given that we might be changed. What do you reckon those three C words? To comfort, to give us courage, and to change us. And we're going to spend a bit of time on all those three things and have a look how wonderful it is to have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, dwelling in us. Amen. All right, so let's get into it. But first of all, I want us to look at a great verse in John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. And Jesus says there, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. What do you think of those words? I remember when I first read those words years ago, thinking, no, I would prefer Jesus to be with us, wouldn't you? But he said it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit might come. No, it's not. We don't disagree with Jesus, right? And he's always right. No, it is better. Because if Jesus hadn't gone, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be able to come. And where does the Holy Spirit go? Inside us, into us. If Jesus remained, he'd still be on the outside. This way, the Lord Jesus' Spirit comes to dwell in us. That's why he said it's better. Do you get that? It's much better. He comes to dwell within. That is better. Alright, so that's something we've got to be aware of. So it's so much better to have the Holy Spirit living in us. And in John chapter 16 verse 7, the word used in the Greek that's translated in my translation, helper, is the word parakletos. And the Holy Spirit is described by this very rich picture word, parakletos. Para, parallel, kletos, cord. The Holy Spirit is the one who has been called to come alongside us. That's a lovely picture of the Holy Spirit. And in our English translations, we haven't got one word to really do justice to that Greek word. So that's why our translations vary. I don't know what you have. You probably have counselor, comforter, helper, advocate, and maybe a few other words. And he's all of them. He's all of them. But today, I want us to particularly really focus upon the Holy Spirit being our comforter. And the reason why I want to do that is because in that Bible reading, John chapter 14, that's the strong sense of the word parakletos there, the comforter. Let's check it out. Let's turn to John chapter 14, and we'll read together verses 16 to 18. It says there, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, and I'll put the word comforter there. My translation's got helper, but it's okay to put the word comforter. He will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he will abide with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now what I love about the setting of this passage is Jesus knows that he is about to die for us in order to save us from our sins. And he's also aware that he will be raised from the dead, and then he will ascend to the throne and sit at the right hand of the Father. And he's so conscious that he'll be leaving behind his followers, the disciples of old and us also who are here. And he's conscious that he'll be leaving behind people, his followers, who are in a world that is hostile to the Christian faith, in a world that is ravaged by sin and Satan. And he can't help but feel for us. He feels for us. And what he's saying here is, I'm conscious of you guys. I am not going to let you be alone. Wow. Don't you love the heart of Jesus? He's concerned for, I will not let you be alone. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. How? Through his Spirit. I love the heart of Jesus. He so loves us and cares for us. And so in order for us not to be left alone, in order for us not to be orphans, he's going to send another one of the family members of the Trinity to come and dwell in us. Father is on the throne, the Lord Jesus at the right hand, and the Spirit of Jesus will come to dwell in us so that we are not orphans. And so isn't that just amazing? I love the heart of Jesus. One of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us. Because we are here on earth in a war zone, and the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us, to help us, so that we don't feel alone on our own. We don't feel alone in our trials and tribulations. We don't feel alone when people reject us, and that happens. We have the Spirit to comfort us for all our days here on earth. I love that beautiful picture. We have special and precious grandchildren, as you know, 8 of them now. And sometimes when they're being dropped off at our place and Colleen's going to look after them, they get really upset that Mum and Dad have deserted them. And now they're left to scallywag Granddad teasing them. And they get pretty up, they might be upset. I don't think they get upset about me, but maybe they do. But they get upset that their mum and dad aren't there. And what do we need to help them? Well, we give them cuddles and love them. But often they have a comforting thing. Like the old blanket they got to carry around. Or maybe it's the dummy. Zachy has the dummy. He's got to have the dummy, then he feels comforted. Ollie the Owl was very popular. That comforted the kids too. They needed something to comfort them while Mum and Dad were away at work. And you know, as I think about how precious that is to them, we need comfort too. And that comfort is none other than the Holy Spirit who dwells in us to give us comfort. Comfort. That's what we need. Comfort so that we might be settled in a hostile world. Comfort so that we might know the peace of our God. It's interesting in the context of the Holy Spirit coming into our world, a little bit later on in John 14, in verse 27, we read, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. God's Spirit has come to comfort our hearts and settle us. Do you know this? You ought to. This is one of the main reasons for the Holy Spirit coming, to settle you, to give you an extraordinary peace. That's God's gift to you through His Spirit. What a great God. I hope you know this peace. A peace that is beyond understanding. A peace that settles you so much, all because of the Holy Spirit's key role to comfort all the children of the Lord. And now we're going to look at another great thing about the Holy Spirit, and that now is courage to speak. And I want to do that by looking at Acts chapter 2. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And let's have a look at this extraordinary day when the Holy Spirit came. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. What a day. The day when the Holy Spirit came in full, in power, upon those first believers. I don't know if you realize that when it says there that they heard a mighty rushing wind, in a Jewish mind, they would associate that with the Spirit. Because in the Hebrew language, wind and breath and Spirit are the same word, ruach. So God comes in power. It's not a wind to hurt, it's a wind, it's just a sound. They hear this strong wind, the breath of God. And then He comes upon them. In tongues as of fire, not fire to burn them, but tongues as of fire, like tongues of fire from a flame. And it rested upon them. God never does anything random, right? So why is it like that? Tongues. Think of the human tongue. The Holy Spirit came to unloose our tongues. That's the picture here. To unloose our tongues. So that we cannot help but speak of Him, the Christ. To speak of the gospel, to speak of the glory of God, to speak of the grace of God. Friends, that's why the Holy Spirit was given. So that we might speak and that we might have the courage to speak in a world that wants to put out the flame. The Holy Spirit is the opposite, working to cause us to speak when the world is trying to put us out. Isn't that true? Praise God for His Spirit. Praise God for His Spirit. And I've got to tell you, this whole thing of having courage to speak is really seen in Acts chapter 2 in the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter. You know, I'm not going too far to say that he was quite cowardly. Do you remember how he denied Jesus 3 times? Because he feared being arrested and being put on trial and crucified. And then him and the disciples, they're in a locked room for fear of the Jews. They got no courage. But look at this day. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and we're going to read some amazing things. Look at him now. Look at the Holy Spirit in his life. How do we know that? He has courage to speak. And that's what we all need. All right, let's have a look at a few great verses in Acts chapter 2. So we have, let's start off in, where is it? Verse 14. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. Don't you love how it's put there? He took his stand, that's courage, and he raised his voice. All right, verses 22 to 24. You'll see how courageous he is here. Verses 22 to 24. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. That's being courageous. You murderers. That's what he's saying. But listen to what it says in verse 24. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. What great words. See the courage of Peter? See the clarity he has too as he speaks, all because of the Holy Spirit. And the last part of it, in verse 36, we read, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that's Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So if the Holy Spirit can do that to Peter, can he do that for us? That wasn't much of a yes, was it? Yes! And even I'm a testimony to it. Some of you don't know this. Colleen will know this. I was the ultra introvert. Yes, I was. Wasn't I, Colleen? Yep. I was a shy one. Colleen had to ask me out rather than the other way around. All right? That's how I was. And when I became a Christian, I continued to be like this introvert, knowing that it wasn't cool, but I was. I was shy. I was reluctant to share. And then, of course, you have things like God's Word. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Great. What does that say? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And I thought, oh no. Am I even saved? I'm ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I am embarrassed to tell my, engineering buddies, these atheists, that I'm a Christian. But I never forget how God's Spirit challenged me through His Word, and God's Spirit in me gave me this courage, I don't know where it came from, went against my nature, to start speaking about Jesus. Wow, if He can do that for me, He can do that for you. And He wants us to have courage to speak. You got a tongue, use it for the glory of God. Tell those great things of our God. Tell about the grace of our God, the glory of Christ, and the gospel of Christ. That's what we've got to get into. And that's how it is. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit, Paul says to timid Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. And that's how it is. We are to share. So how are you with that? It's a bit harder to share these days. It's not too cool being a Christian. You moron. You insane person, what is wrong with you? You brainwash people. You get all sorts of stuff. But we have the Spirit. He's going to help you. He'll even give you the words to say at the right time. You've got to step up though. We're not called to be shy Christians, scared Christians, silent Christians, but fired up Christians. Don't let the world put your light out, the fire out. You've been lit up. You've been lit up for Jesus. So speak the word. We have a lot of work to do in this area. We've become comfortable just saying nothing. Just thinking, oh well, the world doesn't want to hear, so I won't speak. That's just wrong. We've got to speak about Jesus until our dying breath. Thinking of Uncle Errol there in the nursing home just across the road. He's still speaking, telling the nurses, telling the carers, Jesus! You've got to tell them about Jesus. Okay, so we've had comfort to settle us, courage to speak, oh praise the Lord for His Spirit. But the last one, I meant tell you what, we could be going for the whole week about the blessings of the Spirit, but I'm going to focus on this last one. The C word was to change us. He came into our lives to change us. And that is a really good thing. Can you agree with that? Do you know how good it is to have someone who can change you for the better? Because you probably have realised that it's really, really difficult to change yourself. You might try and change your spouse. You might try and change the world. You might try and change your circumstances. You might have some success. But the hardest thing to change is yourself. But we have an ally, the Holy Spirit, who has been given to change us. Thinking of how hard it is to change, God says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, verse 23. You might have heard this verse. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Or the leopard change his spots? No. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You can't change either. That's right. We have a sinful nature and we are biased towards it. We have sinful desires that just capture us and take us down a wrong path. We have caught hold of all these sinful behaviours and habits by living here in this dangerous world. How on earth can you change? The Spirit of the Lord has come into our lives to change us. How good is that? That's so wonderful. Now let's have a read of some great verses in the New Testament about this. First one I'd like us to look at is Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's something mentioned, beautiful things mentioned in that whole passage, but there's something mentioned about change. We are meant to be changed in what way? So that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Helping us to become like Jesus or little Jesuses. How is it going? Do you look like Jesus? You're meant to be. We're all meant to be growing to be more like the Lord. Wow, what a great verse that is. All right. Let's have a look at some other things. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Bob likes this verse, don't you, Bob? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, you know that one. All right, here we go. We're going to read it. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed from one degree of glory to another, just as from the Lord, from the Spirit. That is an amazing verse. We are being changed from one degree of glory to another, and the emphasis there is the Spirit. What a great work he's doing. It's a great work, because there's a lot of change he needs to do in our life. Isn't there? Heaps of change. But he's equipped to do it. He has all power to do it. This is the Holy Spirit. Wow. And then we're going to look at Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, just read all of Romans 8. Just fantastic chapter. It's about the Spirit, about prayer, about God's great love for us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we have a reminder of who the Spirit is. Before I read it, I've got to say to you all, even though I believe there is a place for counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, they cannot change you like the Holy Spirit can. We need to remember that. They are a help and that's all. It is the Holy Spirit who can change us. I want to just be a bit blunt here. He's the one who can break. If we have any addictions in our life, he's the one who can break it. He can rewire us. He can do all sorts of amazing things. If we have any behaviours in our life that are just so hard to break, the Holy Spirit can break it. We need to look to him and turn to him and open our heart to him. Right, let's see why he can. Romans 8 verse 11. It says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. What's so good about that verse? What power when the Holy Spirit raised the Lord Jesus to life. That's the same Spirit who lives in you. Or go back to the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. What a picture. He is moving over that dark world at the command of Christ, under the command of Father, through the Son. He was poised to create this magnificent creation. Same Spirit. He was poised to work in our heart. at the command of Christ if we would yield to Him. He can do amazing things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Do we believe these things? So often I look at ourselves, I look at my own life, we look like we're all chained, you know, we're all sort of in fear, we've got all these things happening, we're so just brought down and can't do anything. But we're meant to be changing from one degree of glory to another. And why are we meant to be changing? So that we might shine, that we might light up the little world we're in, to shine Jesus to a lost and dying world. Wow. Well, I could keep going on about the Holy Spirit. I've been so blessed. Just to let you know, the Holy Spirit freaked me out when I was young. Because during the 80s, there was all sorts of weird things happening in churches. Not Bazo, but other places. And I got a bit scared about the Holy Spirit. Till I realized He's none other than the Spirit of the Father. He's none other than the Spirit of the Son. And He comes because He loves us. Not to freak us out, but to help us. To comfort us. To give us courage and to change us, that we might be the people of the Lord. And what a gift. One of the things I remember my old minister, Peter Moore, said, never forget this, he spoke about the great grace of God in giving Jesus and the great grace of God in giving us the Spirit. The Spirit has come to dwell in us. Do you understand the significance of that? He's come to dwell in frail human beings. People who still sin against the Lord. The Holy Spirit, what a gift, has come to dwell in us. Wow. I wouldn't have done that if I was God. But God has done that because He loves His people. Well, as God's people, you know, we should be so excited and delighted having the gift of the Son and the gift of the Spirit. I'm just going to read before I close in prayer these great words from Philippians chapter 2. And it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Hold fast to the word of life, so in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Yeah, it's a great word, that one. We're to be lights in a dark world. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much that we can look to this morning at this wonderful truth of your Holy Spirit being given to us. And we thank you that He is such a blessing to us. We even know that through your word that we learn how we would not even become Christians if it were not for your Holy Spirit working in our life, convicting us of sin and helping us to see our need for Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit causing our proud and stubborn hearts to yield to Jesus so that we might open our heart to Him. So He has worked in our life even well before we became a Christian. But how we value and count so precious and priceless the work He continues to do in our life. And I know for all of us, Father, we are people who we need to be comforted, and we need to have courage to speak, and we need to be changed. And we ask this morning, Lord, may you know all our hearts. I pray that there might be a real softness and an openness, a humility before you, that your Holy Spirit might have a full sway in our life, that we might properly yield to Him, that He might indeed transform our life, that we might be about you and not about ourselves, about your Son, about His kingdom and not our kingdoms. Lord, you know how we are, and I pray that for a church, even this whole vote thing. Lord, if it is for our glory, then may it not happen. May it be about you, and may your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into the good ways of you. Thank you so much for this precious time. Thank you for Pentecost Sunday, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.